Acts chapter 18, we're going to be looking at the first three verses primarily, but we'll be looking at some of the rest of it as well. But here in Acts chapter 18 is where we're going to focus. D.L. Moody, years ago, was as a young man, he was a shoe salesman in Chicago in the United States. And as through God's working in his life, he came to know the Lord as his Savior and became a great preacher there, particularly in Chicago, but in various other areas as well. But he became a great preacher for the Lord. And in the back of his Bible, he wrote these words. He said, "I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. What I can do, I ought to do. And what I ought to do, by the grace of God, I will do." And that's a good thought for us. Today I want us to focus, I've entitled the message, Useful Ordinary Christians. Useful Ordinary Christians. And that describes most of us here. Just ordinary Christians. We're not special people. We're just ordinary people. But yet God wants to use us. And just like God used D.L. Moody in a great way, even though he was just a shoe salesman there in Chicago, God used him in a great way to win many people to Christ through his ministry as he eventually got into preaching ministry. We're going to be looking at a couple named Aquila and Priscilla. Aquila and Priscilla were ordinary Christians that came into Paul's ministry and in his life, and they came in contact with each other. Let's look here in verse number 1 of Acts chapter 18. Acts 18:1 says, "After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them." So Paul came unto them. In verse 3, and because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. Now several things. I want you to look at our map here. Those of you who are not map-oriented people, maybe you can just catch on, but some of us like maps. All right? So all the blue here is the Mediterranean Sea. All right? You got Israel over here, Syria up here. This is now Turkey, but then it was Asia Minor. And up here is Pontus, this little area right up along the sea up there. That's Pontus. That's where Aquila was born. All right. So he had been in Rome over here in Italy. He had been in Rome, and the government in Rome kicked out all the Jews because there was some problems. And so he went from Rome down to Corinth. And Athens here in Corinth. So he went to Corinth or Achaia here, not in Athens. Athens is the city, but in Corinth here. And so Paul met him in Corinth. And so just to keep that in your mind, it'll help you to understand where we're talking about here. So Paul is on his missionary journey. He's over in Corinth. He had just come down through here. He's in Corinth. He's preaching, and he meets Aquila and Priscilla. And because they were tent makers, and so was Paul, they got on fine, and Paul probably met them, you know, who knows? You know, he may have been just going through town saying, you know, "Is there any tent makers in town? You know, I'm a tent maker. I'm wondering if I can find any little part-time work." I don't know what Paul did, but he found Aquila and Priscilla, tent makers. And Paul, you know, got with them and said, "Hey, you know, I'm a tent maker too. How about if we kind of work, can I work with you?" I don't know what the situation was, but Paul met up with them, this ordinary couple, and Paul started spending some time with them. And by God's grace, God used this couple in amazing ways to be a blessing to the work of God because they were willing to serve the Lord. Now, as we look at them this morning, I want to look at their lives and to see how this useful couple were used of God in a very special way to be able to be a blessing. And we can find the same things in our lives. You know, every one of us, doesn't matter who you are or what kind of background you have, God can use you if you will let him. And God wants to use you. There's things that each of us can do. And so God wants us to get involved in that. So I want us to focus our thoughts on that this morning. Now, as we begin, I want us to notice what made Aquila and Priscilla useful. You know, anytime you look at a situation like this, the first thing you need to ask is, why were they useful? What helped them? What enabled them to do that? And that can be a great help to us if we understand that. And so we look here and we find in verses 1 to 3 that, first of all, they shared with Paul. They didn't do anything big, nothing unusual, but they just shared with Paul. There in verse 3, and because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought or did their work together, for they were of the same occupation. They were tent makers. So they just shared their occupation with Paul. Now, that's not hard. That's a pretty simple thing. They just spent time with Paul, opened up their door and said, you know, and again, we can read into it. We don't know all the details. We don't know why Paul joined with them instead of some other tent maker. We don't know, you know, whether they saw Paul and invited him in or whether Paul just came, knocked on their door and said, I'm a tent maker. You know, can I, you know, work alongside you or something? We don't know. But all we know is that Paul saw them and they shared with Paul. And that they had recently come from to Corinth from Rome, so they were not real established there in Corinth either. We don't know how long recently was. But we see here also that Aquila was a Jew. Aquila was a Jew. Now, Aquila was the man of the house, and he was a Jew. Nothing's mentioned about Priscilla being a Jew. It's very likely that she was not a Jew. In fact, some people suspect that she may have been a Roman of fairly noble breeding. And the reason for this is because sometimes, once or twice, when they're mentioned, and this is an interesting thing too, and I'll get back to that in a second. They're mentioned 6 times in the Bible. Every single time they're mentioned together. That's amazing. You think about it, I don't know of any other couple in the Bible that are always mentioned together. You'll never see Aquila separate. You'll never see Priscilla separate. They're always together. They ministered together. They must have had a great marriage. They had a good ministry. And so here, Priscilla, sometimes it's mentioned Priscilla and Aquila. Other times it's mentioned Aquila and Priscilla. Well, to mention the woman first was very unusual among the Jews. That would be very unusual. Because it was the Jews, they had a very strong patriarchal situation. So for her to be mentioned first implies that she may have been of a noble family. That's a possibility. But whatever the case may be, it doesn't appear that she was a Jew. But they shared with Paul. They opened up their home. Very likely he may have even stayed with them during this time, but they shared their occupation and they worked together. We say the second thing that we note here is that they learned from Paul. Verse number 4. And Paul reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. All right, so Paul had been up here in Macedonia. He left Silas and Timothy up there, and he went down to Achaia and into Corinth. And when he got to Corinth, he sent word to them and said, come on down, there's lots to do down here. And so they came down to join him, and when they got down there, they preached Christ together. Now, this is an important thing for us to note. He reasoned with the Jews in the synagogue. Now, Aquila was a Jew, and being a good Jew, Aquila would have gone to the synagogue and probably took his wife with him, no reason why not. Even if she wasn't a Jew, she was his wife, and they would go to the synagogue together. And they heard Paul preaching the gospel and preaching the word of God there. And so, whether they were already Christians when they came from Rome, or whether they came to know Christ through his testimony at work and his preaching in the synagogue, we don't know. No one knows that. But one thing we do know is that they did come to know Christ. And so they're there and they're learning under Paul's ministry, and likely during those long hours of work. You can just imagine, he's working there with them. They're sewing up their tents and whatever they were doing, whether they're actually making the cloth or whether they're making the tents out of the cloth. You know, it may have been a little of both, but there was time-consuming work. And when you're sitting down doing boring stuff like that, it's great to be able to talk with people around you. And they didn't have noisy machines like we would have in factories today, so they were able to sit there and probably talked about the Lord and talked about the gospel and talked about spiritual things. Can you imagine sitting there hour after hour after hour and listening to the Apostle Paul explain the scriptures? That would have been amazing. That would have been an amazing time. So they were learning from Paul. They were drinking it in. And then on the Sabbath day, he would go and reason with them, with the Jews out of the scriptures. The word reason there is an interesting word. It means to converse. It means more than that, though, to discourse, to argue, or to discuss. And arguing there, not necessarily in a bad way, but putting out an argument to defend the faith. And so Paul here is defending the faith. He's trying to teach these Jews that Jesus Christ is the answer. He is the Messiah. And many of the Jews at that point didn't believe that. And so Paul's trying to persuade them that Christ is the Messiah. And he was urging them to come to Christ. So Aquila and Priscilla were sitting under his ministry at church. They were sitting under his ministry all day long at work. They had a perfect opportunity hour after hour after hour all week long to hear this great preacher explain the scriptures to them. And so they were growing and gaining from the scriptures. He not only reasoned, but he also persuaded. The word persuade there has to do with convincing, using convincing words to get people to trust Christ. And you know, we need to do that. Sometimes people think, well, you can't force a person to get saved. You're right, you can't. Only God can save their soul. But at the same time, we ought to do everything we can to persuade them that this is the right thing to do. And as a preacher, one of my jobs is to persuade you. This is what God wants you to do. This morning, I am seeking to persuade you to get involved as ordinary Christians in the ministry of the Lord. And I am seeking to persuade you. I'm not going to hide that from you. That's my goal. I want you to say, that's what I need to do. When we're all finished, I want you to say, yes, I want to do that too. I want to get involved. And that is, Paul was persuading them and encouraging them. And this is precisely the work that God had commissioned him to do. Paul describes his commission in Acts 26, verse 18, where he says that God said to him, I want you to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith that is in me. He said, that's your ministry. That's what I've given you to do. That's your commission. And that's exactly what Paul was doing here. He was seeking to open eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they would be able to receive the forgiveness of sins and inheritance in heaven. And that needs to be our job as well. If you know Christ, your Savior, you can share that with others. You say, well, I don't know all the fancy words to say. That's not the point. The point is, if you know that you have trusted Christ and you know that Christ has forgiven you because you put your faith in Him, how hard is that to describe to somebody else? You can do that. And, you know, many times it's the fancy religious terms a lot of times are more confusing to the people of our world that don't understand them than just your conversation. So you have a perfect opportunity to share Christ with others. And so Priscilla and Aquila here heard Paul's preaching. And it was a help to them. And it is not certain, you know, when they came to know Christ. But one thing we do know is that before Paul left Corinth, they had come to know the Lord and they were growing in the Lord. All right, we know that for certain because of what takes place in the next few steps. Under Paul's preaching and mentoring, this faithful couple learned well the Word of God. And you know, that is my goal, that is my passion. I want you to learn well the Word of God. Now, I only get an opportunity to teach you Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. But I urge you to study it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday on your own. And it'll help you to grow. But that's my job, to encourage you. And Paul was doing that. He was persuading in the synagogue. He was urging the people. And you can be certain that as he was sitting there, you know, weaving their cloth or sewing up the tents or whatever they were doing there together, he was saying to them, you know, you folks could really be used of God. God could really use you. Get to know the Word of God. Know what God says here. And so he was training them and teaching them, and they were learning under his ministry. And then that leads to the next thing that took place, is that they testified for Christ. They became a great testimony for the Lord. Verse 18 through 26. And I won't read all of this, but I'll read a little bit here. It said, verse number 18, it says, and Paul, after he had tarried there a good while. As we look at this, his good while was at least 18 months, because we saw back in verse 11 here, he says that he stayed with them a year and a half. And so it says he tarried with them a good while, then took he leave of his brethren and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Centuria, for he had a vow. And he came to Ephesus. All right, now let's just stop there and look at the map. All right, they're over here in Corinth. They were sailing to Syria. All right, so getting on boat, they're coming along here, going headed towards Syria. But on their way across, one of the main towns and one of the ports was Ephesus, and their ship pulled into Ephesus. And so he stopped there at Ephesus, and he left Priscilla and Aquila and Priscilla there in Ephesus. And he moved on. And we see this, that Paul was led to go there, that direction. And then when he got to Ephesus there, in verse number 19, and he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. And when they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not. But bade them for farewell, saying, I must by all means keep the feast that cometh to Jerusalem. So here Paul says, I can't stay. I'm headed to Jerusalem. I want to go to the feast in Jerusalem, but you guys can stay here. And he left Priscilla and Aquila there in Ephesus. That's significant that he left them there. You know, this couple may have been the initial work at Ephesus. They may have been the initial Christians there at Ephesus. We don't know of anybody else that was there first. Perhaps there was. We don't know. But whether there was no one there except Priscilla and, Aquila and Priscilla, or whether there was other Christians, whatever the case may be, Paul left Aquila and Priscilla there, and they continued to be a blessing there at Ephesus. Now, there's nothing that we can see, as far as I know, in the Scriptures that indicates that Aquila was a preacher. But he knew the Word, and he was faithful to God, and he faithfully attended the synagogue. And while he was there in Ephesus, a Jewish preacher named Apollos came along. Now, Apollos was a genius man. And he came and he started preaching in the synagogue. But as he preached, they could see that he didn't understand it all. Verse number 24, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria. Now, Alexandria is down here in northern Africa. So he's born down there in northern Africa. And he was an eloquent man, mighty in the Scriptures. He came to Ephesus. And this man was instructed in the way of the Lord. Being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Now that's pretty significant. You stop and think about that. This couple, God was using them. They heard him preaching, and they said, something's missing. He's not preaching Jesus Christ. He's preaching John the Baptist and looking forward to Christ. He doesn't understand that Christ has already come, died on the cross, paid the debt of our sins, and we have a home in heaven. So he missed all that. And so as a result, they took him aside. And look at that, verse 26, and this couple, they take him aside, they share the gospel with him, they expound unto him more clearly the things of God, and he listens to them, and they help. Now, how could this? Think about this. Who were they? They were just plain, ordinary people, tent makers. And the eloquent preacher comes to town and starts preaching, and they go humbly to him and say, can we have a talk with you? We'd like to share some things with you that maybe you don't know. And they probably took him home for lunch and sat him down and said, you know, we've spent many months with the Apostle Paul. We were with him for over a year and a half. And he taught us this, 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 and this about the gospel and about Jesus Christ. And they spent that time expounding on him. And I'm sure that that preacher was drinking it in. He says, you mean I don't have all of it. And that there's more to it than what I know. And he's drinking it in. And they're helping him and feeding his soul and encouraging him. They're just ordinary Christians. And yet they're being a blessing to this preacher. That is amazing. Why? Because they had learned the Scriptures well. That's key. If we're going to be a help to others, we first need to know the Scriptures. And so they had learned the Scriptures well, and now they're able to help Apollos in his preach and to educate him on the things of the Lord. Now, we see next that they opened their home for church services. There at Ephesus, the home of this ordinary couple became the meeting place for the church services. We read over in that Paul wrote his first letter to Corinth at Ephesus, he included a salutation to from Aquila and Priscilla. And it says there in 1 Corinthians 16:19, the churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. You know, they did what they could. They said, listen, we may not be the preachers, but we can open our home. You can use our home. This will be a great blessing. You can use our home and that can be a help to you. So they were opening up their place and trying to be a help to, in that way. And so God was using them in a significant way to be a help and a blessing through this manner. Now, during Paul's third missionary trip, he wrote his letter to Rome from Corinth. All right, now, when he's writing now to Rome, evidently by this time Aquila and Priscilla had returned to Rome and were holding church services in their home again. Over there in Romans chapter 16, we find in verse number 5 that they were having church in their home again. And now they're in Rome. How they got to Rome, we don't know those details, but they got back to Rome. And now he's writing to them. So they opened up their home. These are things that ordinary people can do that isn't complicated. They didn't have a Bible college education or a seminary degree. They were not trained in those ways, but they simply shared with Paul. They learned from Paul. They testified for the Lord. They opened up their home, but they also did one more thing. They became helpers to the work of the Lord. Romans chapter 16, verses 3 to 5, there Paul says these words. He says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. He said, they're my helpers in Christ Jesus. The word helpers there literally means a fellow worker. A fellow worker. He said, they're my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. And that is a great blessing to Paul. But he goes on and he says, who, speaking of Aquila and Priscilla, he says, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. So he says several things here. First of all, he says they're my helpers. He said they've laid down their necks for my sake. What does that mean? That means that there were times during that they were when they were with Paul that they risked their life to save Paul. Was Paul ever in need of help like that? Yeah, several times. When the mobs would get upset with Paul, and they'd come charging in trying to get him, and, you know, the Christians would, quick, Paul, get out of here, come on. And they'd protect him and hide him and take him off, and they'd risk their lives to protect Paul because they were trying to get after Paul because they didn't like his preaching. And Aquila and Priscilla were among those who protected him. And he says, they've risked their lives for my sake. But he says, not only that, but he says, the Gentile churches all rejoice in them. They praise God for them. And so the other Christians around were saying, that couple has been a great blessing to us. They've been an awesome blessing to us. They open up their home for church. They're a great testimony to us. They're just an amazing couple. And so they are rejoicing in that. The Gentiles are giving thanks for them. And then it says that they also had church in their home again. So here they had church in their home at Ephesus. They had church in their home at Rome. And who knows, probably in different places they'd been, the Bible doesn't mention. But this couple opened up things for the Lord. They got involved and they were being a helpers for the Lord and helpers in the work. You know, even though they may never have been preaching, Aquila may never have been a preacher. We don't know. But he was a helper for God's work. And he was doing everything he could. And he was a great blessing and a help. And he got involved and he supported the work both physically and spiritually. He physically blessed the work and helped the work by opening his home, doing things. You know, there's a lot involved in doing that kind of thing. You know, that he got involved physically. He protected Paul. He helped Paul. And then also, he was a blessing financially. You know that if he was giving housing to Paul and the other missionaries or helping them in the ministry like that, it costs money. And so I know that he got involved in it financially as well as physically. He poured his life into that. And yet, Aquila and Priscilla were just ordinary, everyday Christians like us. Without a question, this couple was very useful, even though they were just ordinary Christians. And that's important for us to see. Now, how can you and I get involved and become useful for the Lord? Let's just get down to some practical things. We've already kind of hinted at it, but let's look at it practically. What have we learned from Aquila and Priscilla? Well, first of all, we can be hospitable. That's not hard. It takes a little bit of effort. I'm not going to say it's easy. Just open up your home. You know, I mean, if everybody's home gets dirty, that's part of life. So it means cleaning up a little bit, tidying things up a little bit, but being hospitable, open your home, maybe open your home to guest speakers or open your home to for services or open your home for different opportunities that come along. That you can be hospitable, you can build friendships with people and be a blessing. You know, there's a scripture there that Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9, use hospitality one to another without grudging. He said we need to be hospitable, open up. Invite people over for a cup of tea. Invite them over for a meal once in a while. Be a blessing, not just to the preacher, but to other people in the congregation. Be an encouragement to each other. You know, that's one of the things that you can do. You say, well, you know, my situation's not easy. Well, I realize not everybody has the same abilities. But we need to work together. Do what you can. You know, you may not be able to make something that's fancy or something that's nice, but it's not that hard to say, hey, why don't you come over for a cup of tea? You know, we can sit in the lounge and have a cup of tea. That's not that hard. You could do that. And it could be a blessing to somebody. And so we can be hospitable and be an encouragement to others. Now, not only that, another thing that all of us can do is you can learn your Bible well. Aquila and Priscilla knew their Bible well so God could use them. And there's absolutely no excuse for any of us why we can't learn our Bible well if we study it. It just takes work. And every day you can spend time digging in the Word and learning from the Scriptures. And if you'll do the things that I've taught you, you know, just read through the Scriptures and try reading in various places each day so that you get something each day out of the Scripture, it's amazing how much it helps for myself to read some in the Old Testament, some in Psalms, some in Proverbs, and some in the New Testament, because in one of those locations, at least, I'm going to find something to feed my soul. And then I can focus on it. And I can meditate on it, and I can ask questions. What does that mean? How can that help me? And what can I learn from that? One thing I can share with you, just today I was reading in Acts, in my Bible reading this morning, and in Acts chapter 23, it was about the Apostle Paul, and he was in prison. Right? Well, yeah, I guess he was in jail. He wasn't really in prison yet, but he's in jail. They're holding him over. They're contemplating what to do with him. And his nephew, this young man, overhears the religious leaders plotting to kill Paul. They said, we got 40 men. We're not going to eat or drink until that man's dead. We're going to get rid of him. And he overhears all this. Young man, just acting innocent. He overhears all this. And what's he do? He didn't go home and cry. He ran to the prison and said, could I please speak to the prisoner, Paul? And he gets in there. He speaks to Paul and tells Paul the whole thing. And Paul calls the guard. And the guard says, yeah, what do you want? He says, send this young man to the governor. He's got something important to tell him from me. And so he goes to the governor. The governor takes him off to the corner and he tells him the whole story, tells him what's going on. And the governor then instantly sends 472 soldiers to guard Paul and take him to Caesarea. All right? So they're down here in Israel. They took him over to Caesarea along the coast. And he sent 472 soldiers to protect him and guard him. Why? Because a young man, a boy, we don't know how old he was. He may have been a lad of 8 or 10, 12 years old. And God spoke to his heart and he realized, I've got to do this. And he went in and risked his life or risked his, you know, safety doing this. But God used that young man. Well, listen, if God can use a young man like that, he can use any of us. God is looking for opportunities to work in our lives. And we need to know the Bible well. That'll be a great help to us. As you're reading the Bible, study the Bible, look at it closely, ask questions. You know, one of the best things you can do to learn from the Bible is ask yourself questions. That's one of the best things you can ask and do. Because you're reading along and say, you're reading along a passage and say, oh, what does that mean? Oh, wonder how long that was. Oh, where was that? Oh, what can I learn? And you look it up on the map. Oh, yeah, it was over there. Oh, yeah, well, what happened next? Ask questions. The more questions you ask as you're studying the Bible, the more you're going to learn. Because it forces you to look. And then look things up. Write down things you learn. You know, I've emphasized that in the past, and I think a lot of times people think, oh, I don't need to do that. That's important. Write down something you learn each day. Why? It forces you to use your senses. It uses your brain to write down. You've got to think it clearly. What did I learn? And you can write it down there. And writing it down helps cement it into your mind. It helps make it more clear. It just helps you to write it down and condense it into your thoughts. And greatest place to write it is in a note on the verse. If you're using a Bible program or a software, you can write a little note on it. Great way to help it, because the next time you come back to the verse, there it is again, what you learned before. But write down something, meditate on it. You know, meditating on the scripture is one of the most neglected things that a Christian does. We neglect meditation. And yet meditation is very important. What do I mean? I'm not talking about sitting in the corner, crossing your legs and closing your eyes and dreaming. I'm talking about thinking about what you read. Think about it. Ask yourself questions. I wonder what Paul meant when he said that. Why would he talk like that? Where did he go? I wonder how, or maybe you're talking about Aquila and Priscilla. You know, I wonder how old they were. What kind of life did they have? You know, he was a Jew. She probably wasn't a Jew. You know, would that make life hard? You know, what differences did they have? Wonder what their families were like. Ask yourself questions as you're meditating. You can do that on your walk. You can do it when you're laying in bed. But you can think about what you've been reading and let it go over and over and over in your mind until it brings together thoughts that can be of help to you. Great tool and a great help to us if you'll do that. And so learn the scriptures well. Meditate on the scriptures. Let it change your life. Memorize the scriptures. That's hard. But it's important. Because you need to know where the scriptures are when you're talking to others. You can't just say, well, you know, the Bible says that we're supposed to love God. Where does it say that? Well, I don't know, but it's in there somewhere. Well, that's not going to help you any. If you're going to make a statement, you need to know where it's at. And so, memorize some places in the scriptures. Memorize a few verses. It can be of help to you. Those things can be of help. And those are the things that helped Aquila and Priscilla when they were training and giving more information to Apollos. That was a great blessing. Ordinary people helping the preacher. And that can be a great thing. Another thing you can do is you can seek to edify others. Share your faith with people that you meet. Unsaved people, share tracts with them. Carry some of the tracts in the back. Pass them out to people. Talk to them about the Lord. Just bring up subjects of the Lord. You know, one of the things that I'm pointing to me, I need to work on more diligently is to try to force myself to, even though I'm talking to people that I don't think know the Lord, I need to talk about God even in front of them. Or things about the Lord. Or things about that God has done. You know, didn't God give us a wonderful day today? Oh, it's such a blessing what God has done for us today. Little things like that that can help us and open it up so we have opportunities to be able to share the gospel with others and to talk to others about Christ. All right, so those are some things that we can do to share our faith with others. Now, we need to share not only with unbelievers, but also we can be a blessing with the Christians. You know, the better you learn the Bible, the more you can communicate with other Christians and talk with them and share your faith with them. When you're having them over for a cup of tea, you can sit down and, you know, talk about, you know, what you've looked at in the Bible today and what you've learned. You know, many times we'll talk about the weather, we'll talk about, you know, politics, we'll talk about all kinds of things, but we don't talk about the Lord. That ought not to be, especially with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We ought to share Christ with each other. And share what we're learning and ought to make that a habit in our lives so that we can build up each other. You know, God tells us we're to edify one another. Edify means to build up. Well, the only way you can edify someone is you got to have something to share with them. So study the Bible, then build up others. And that's something ordinary Christians can do. You can do that. And all of us can. It's important. And then there's one last one I want us to see here. And that is that we need to get more involved. You know, we can become fellow workers like this couple. become fellow workers. Get involved in the work. And they were fellow workers with Paul. Do not be content just attending to the services. I greatly appreciate you guys coming Sunday mornings. That's great. But we have three services a week. We have Sunday night and Wednesday night as well. Why do I prepare different messages for those services? Because I want to feed your souls. Sunday nights, I focus more on building up the Christians and strengthening them. Wednesday night is a teaching time, training and teaching and strengthening the believers. And we do that, why? So that we can strengthen and edify each other so that you can go and do the work of the Lord. And we talked about that this past Wednesday night. But get involved. If you don't come to the other services, seek to do that. It takes work. I know. It takes diligence. I know. But make it a habit. It'll be a blessing to you if you'll do. Become a church member. You know, that's a great blessing you can do as well. Just get more involved. Become a member so you can get more involved and come to our meetings and have a say in what takes place. And just volunteer to serve the Lord or come early to the services and help us set up or stay afterwards and help us take things down. All that's part of being a laborer with the Lord. And there's things that all of us can do, and it's not things that are hard. You know, and God may have a specific ministry for you. You know, there may be something specifically that God has that He wants you to do. And that's when it's good to ask God to show you what He wants you to do. I wonder how many, I'm not asking you to raise your hand, but I wonder if in your heart you've ever taken the time to say, God, what specifically do you want me to do with my life? I mean, we need to ask God that. That's what God wants us to do. You know, God may say, well, I want you to do what you're doing right now. Great, if that's what He says. But if God lays on your heart, you know, you could get involved in more of this, or you could do this, or you could be this. Maybe God might even speak to your heart about getting truly involved, like become a preacher if you're a man, or a missionary to a foreign country. God can get a hold of our hearts to do those things. You know, Jesus, one of the things that Jesus said during the later part of His ministry, He said, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. There's not enough people doing the work. And God said that was a problem way back in the first century, and it's still a problem today. So God is saying, get involved. There's a huge need today for preachers and missionaries. Huge need for this. I know of churches right now, I can think of two or three right now off the top of my head, that don't have a preacher today. They need preachers. But there's nobody volunteering, nobody preparing, nobody training. And the mission fields, there's many places where they could use more missionaries preaching and teaching and starting churches, but there's no one volunteering. And so there's a great need. Ask God what He would have you to do. Open your home for church meetings or activities. You know, we appreciate Peter and Ruth opening their home on Wednesday nights for our Bible studies, and that's a great blessing. But you know, there's other opportunities, maybe a games night or just a fellowship night or various things that we do throughout the year. Then you say, well, you know, there's no reason to, well, it couldn't be in our home. Well, I don't know that. Tell me. You know, come to me and say, Pastor, my home's available. How about if we, you know, have some kind of an activity in my home sometime? Great. That's awesome. Let me know. Get involved. Those are things you can do. There's all kinds of little things you can do like that that can be a great thing and be a help. You can host a Bible study in your own home, maybe with some unbelievers. Get some neighbors that come along and just have a Bible study in your own home. If you're not feeling capable of leading it, then, you know, let me know and I'll see what I can do to help or find someone that can help you with that. But you can get involved. Look for opportunities to get involved. And if you need some ideas, come and see me. You know, if you say, well, you know, Pastor, can you give me some ideas of things I could do for the Lord? I'd be delighted to help you. All right? But as we look at this now, what have we looked at? We looked at this young couple. I say young. I don't know how old they were, but they are this married couple, Quill and Priscilla, ordinary Christians, ordinary people, but they got involved in the work of the Lord, and their names are mentioned 6 times in Scripture. And Paul said that they were laborers together with him. They were a blessing to him. They shared with him. They'd helped him in the ministry. They opened their home to church services, they were a great blessing. Now, with those thoughts in mind, what can you do that you're not doing right now? There's things that we can get involved in. And so my challenge to you right now is to look for opportunities to get involved and let God have his way. But you know it all starts right at the very foundation. Everything starts at the foundation. The foundation is knowing Christ as our Savior. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then all that I've talked to you about today is just over your head. I mean, you're not going to want to serve the Lord if you don't know him as your Savior. And that's where it all starts. So if there's never been a time in your life when you've repented of your sin and trusted Christ your Savior, I urge you to do that today. That's what God wants. That's the most important thing that we can do, is to come to know Christ your Savior. If you're not sure about that, come talk to me about it. I'd be happy to discuss it with you and help you and talk with you about that.